Audio Drama Production Podcast, Episode 41. 8 Ways You Can Help Others to Succeed in Audio Drama and Keeping Silent Characters in the Picture.
The Audio Drama Production Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast, the show where we aim to help and inspire you to create great audio drama. If you're a new listener, we're glad to have you, and you can check out all 40 of our previous episodes over at audiodramaproduction.com. Now, my name is Robert, you probably know that by now, and if you don't, hello to you, and this is...
Matthew, and we are, this is our second attempt at recording this podcast. It all went wrong the other night. We've made a huge effort to get out and actually record. We're sitting in the car yet again because it's convenient. Busiest day of the year, probably the warmest day of the year, but here we are and here you are, so all's good in the end, all's well that ends well.
Absolutely. So we'll persevere, we'll fight on, and we'll get this right the second time. We'll call the first one a practice. What did we practice? What are we doing now?
Well, we've got a clip from listener Kessie in Germany. She was talking a bit about, creating background noises with some of the noises that your characters might make. It's an excellent way to deal with the problem of having a character who's silent in the background for too long. So we'll get to that, but before we do... Because it's nice to be nice, we've come up with a wee list of 8 different ways that we can help other people in audio drama. And this is just, you know, like I say, it's nice to be nice. If you help somebody out and they help you out, we all grow together, we all move forward together. So will we dive into this list, Robert?
Yeah. Number one, leave a review. Seems obvious, isn't always. If you've listened to a show and you really like it, leave a review, something on iTunes or wherever it's being held, and put a bit of detail into it and say what was good about it, rather than just, oh, I loved it and I'm not even the maker of it, honestly.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're all probably guilty of this, not just in audio drama, but in the podcasting world as well, is that shows that we like, you consume them, you enjoy them, you maybe even talk to the producer or presenter, but to leave a review is that wee extra way of thanking that person. So if you can take the time maybe once a week, just one of the shows you like I say, once a week, leave a wee review and, like Robert says, a bit of detail, and that just really helps people to move them up the rankings and get discovered by new listeners.
Think about it like this. If someone can go onto Amazon.com and give a review for milk, then yeah, we can surely take the time to go on there.
And a lot of the time as well, I mean, this maybe isn't so much a case in the audio drama world because it's a smaller community, but the most vocal people on reviews websites are the really critical people, sometimes not always justified as well. So it's great to see genuine positivity. I'm not just talking about a review exchange between two people that don't even like each other's shows. You know, just great show, mate, and it means nothing. You know,
5 stars.
A sincere review of a show that you really do enjoy can go a long way. Yeah. So that's number one on our list. Number two is to share a show on social media. And this really comes down to the fact that, you know, we all share our own content on social media. But I think it has a lot more value when you see someone sharing a show that they've not been involved in making. Just because they enjoy that show, that says a lot to me about that show. It makes me want to hear it.
Yeah, especially if they're the type of person that doesn't even advertise their own show very often. They're not spammers by any stretch of the imagination. So the fact that they've gone out their way to talk about someone else's show, yeah, it makes you think this could be something worth listening to.
So number three on the list, Robert?
Yes, well, think about it this way. You could collaborate with other people that are involved in audio drama, like we did with Campfire Radio Theatre. We worked with them on a couple of projects recently where we recorded it all not all of it, but our parts at our end. We had some live recording, like on-site recording between three of us, three actors. And then we sent that over to Mr. Ballantyne at Campfire, and he oversaw the whole project, and it came out really well, didn't it?
Yeah, it's a great wee thing to do. And what you're doing with this process, you're combining your talents, you're combining your audiences, you're producing something that you're both invested in, and the end product is really satisfactory. So I thoroughly recommend that. You know, find someone who maybe creates stuff that you like, and is at a similar level to you as well in terms of production and audience size, listenership, that sort of thing, and just approach them. You know, you might be good friends with a lot of producers anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't always have to be a producer, it could be a writer, you know, an acting group, whatever, but
yeah,
just that way of getting together with new people and creating something.
Especially if there's a field that you're not very experienced in yet, like writing or voice acting, and you think, well, I want to do it all, but I'm not at that level yet. Get a writer on board and you make what they write, or vice versa. There's a whole world of opportunities out there. Number four, introduce someone to audio drama using a show they might like. And this is an interesting one, because say you've made a show that's a fantasy fiction piece, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones type thing, and you've got people that you think would be interested in audio drama, but you know that they prefer science fiction. Introduce them to a sci-fi show, or a romantic show if there's one out there. Introduce them to something that you think they might like, and you might just get them hooked on the genre in general.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of examples that stick out. A very obvious one, you know, we all know someone who loves The Walking Dead. Why not try and get them hooked on We're Alive? Robert, you mentioned Lord of the Rings. You know, you got a Lord of the Rings fan. Why not try and introduce them to something that audio epics have made? You know, like The Witch Hunter Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
There's loads of examples out there. It's just about picking a genre that somebody really likes. Someone who's already very receptive to consuming fiction, and then trying to introduce them to audio drama, and who knows how far it'll go. They might end up a listener, but they might actually get involved in production at some stage as well. So what a good thing that would be to bring someone in who ends up creating their own content.
And that's how it happened for us, didn't it? Because we were into the whole apocalypse thing, and we heard We're Alive introduced to us, and that's how we got into it.
Yeah, it was. So we're here now, unfortunately. You're stuck with us. Number six on the list, a very simple one. Play someone's trailer on the end of your own show. We could all knock up trailers for our shows, and you've got your own listeners. They've got to the end of your show. They obviously like it, and they'll be looking for more content. So to have a wee trailer on there gives them that lead to go on and consume something else. If it's a show that you like and endorse, then why not stick it on there with the permission, I think, of the producer?
Yeah, and, you know, they'll hopefully reciprocate, and you've both doubled your audiences, potentially. So, number seven, nominate and champion someone else for an award, and that will make a bit of a change from the vote for me culture. And that's really talking about, there's been a few different award ceremonies on the go in the past few years, hasn't there? And they're all pretty much like, everybody votes for themselves, I think, and occasionally for other people. But at least that's our perception of it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, we've stayed away from asking for votes on anything, I think, you know, where votes have been involved, because, and I don't know if we're wrong or right, but I'd love to win an award where I'd never asked for any votes, because then I know that people genuinely did want to vote for us rather than just asking for votes. So I think when it comes to awards, I'd much rather get behind someone else's show that I really liked, because if they won it, then I would feel just as happy, because it's a show I liked, it's a show I voted for, it's a show I probably tried to gather support from others to vote for. So, and again, that might come back to someone does that for you. Again, I'm not talking about an exchange of votes or anything like that, but you know, if you show that sort of willingness to champion something that, again, you're not personally invested in, I think you come out at looking quite good, and the other person would feel really good about it as well. So number eight on the list, if you're an experienced writer, producer or voice actor, why not mentor someone and help them out? Someone who has maybe just got into a certain aspect of audio drama creation. Why not pass on some of the experience, the mistakes you've made, and help them to sort of have a flatter learning curve, if you like, towards producing audio drama?
Maybe something like a weekly podcast.
Yeah, that would work, but it's not easy recording every week.
Yeah.
Don't recommend it.
It goes back to what we were saying before, and that not everybody's at the same level with every aspect. If you're doing everything, you know, like you may have been working with audio for quite some time, but maybe you've not written fiction for as long. So If you recognize something like that in somebody else, you can say, hey, I see you've made some really good stuff. Why not? Let's work together and I'll teach you a little bit. You can always teach me a little bit and we'll learn from each other.
Yeah, and again, it sort of ties in with the collaboration as well. Putting your skills and abilities together, combining your audiences if you both have one. But that's not necessary, again, especially if you're mentoring someone who's new, they're probably not going to have an audience. Although, you know, people maybe have an audience in other forms of fiction that they're involved in. Maybe they've done comics, maybe they've done books. So they could be bringing that audience as well. So don't rule that out, I suppose. That's what I'm trying to say.
And by all means, if anybody wants to use the forum, our Facebook group, which is Audio Drama Production Podcast group on Facebook, use that to ask for help or offer help or collaborate, anything at all. We welcome your input.
So we just have a wee run through of that list before we move on.
Yep.
I wish we could play the Top of the Pops tune underneath.
No, they would probably sue us. And only another 67 years to go before we could actually play it, I think.
Yeah.
Number one, leave a review.
Number two, share a show on social media.
Number three, collaborate like we did with Campfire on joint ventures and combine audiences.
Number four is introduce someone to audio drama using a show that they might like.
Number five, comment and discuss aspects of a show. Much more valuable than just liking.
Number six is play someone's trailer on the end of your show.
Number seven, nominate and champion someone else for an award, which makes a change from the vote for me culture.
And number eight is if you are an experienced writer, producer or voice actor, mentor someone and help them out.
And for those of you who are perceptive, you'll have noticed we've missed out number five, so we'll discuss it now. Number five is going to be comment and discuss aspects of a show. More valuable than just liking. Now, I know I've just said that, but let's go into it a bit more. So what would we be doing in that case?
Well, it's easy. It's always easy to favourite something on Twitter or to like something on Facebook. But it's a lot more valuable to actually comment on a show and discuss it, I think. You know, talk about what happened, what you liked, maybe a piece of the soundscape that they've pulled off really well. That's a lot more valuable, and I think producers appreciate that a lot more. You know, it's always good to see that people are liking stuff, but just to have that dialogue, it adds a bit more value, doesn't it?
Yeah, and there's a few different places you can do that. A lot of these dramas have their own Facebook page or maybe even their own website, and there's always various audio drama websites which can maybe do with a visit now and again as well. So find a space and do it, get involved.
So that ties that up then. Good job you're here, Robert, because I genuinely didn't know that we'd missed one out. And I think this is the cursed episode.
Yeah.
But we're getting there.
Yeah.
Next up, we had a clip from listener Kessie in Germany. So I don't think, you know, what we're going to talk about was what she had intended. She was just shown quite a creative way, as you'll hear in a second, to you know, use the ums and ahs that you'll get out of characters' voices to just create, basically, background ambience. But it got us thinking, Robert, didn't it, about silent characters, because it's always a problem if you have a character who's silent for too long. The audience could actually forget that they're there, and then suddenly they come out and talk, and it's a bit like, whoa, where did they come from?
Yeah, because you know, in the visual media, if you've got a character that doesn't speak a lot, then that's fine, because you can see them on screen being all stylish and broody and whatnot. A lot of people will know Daryl from The Walking Dead doesn't say a lot, but he does stalk around looking all mysterious and troubled. But that wouldn't really work in audio drama because he's not saying anything. So how do we keep him alive and animated? How do we keep the characters going? Particularly if you've got more than a couple of characters and they're all in the same room and they can't all just say, and now I'm saying this just so you remember I'm here. So ums and ahs can be very effective, especially if they're just pottering away to themselves.
So before we give some of our thoughts on that, will we fire into Kessie's clip?
Yes, sir.
Hello, my name is Kessie, I'm that girl that got mentioned on several past episodes of this podcast, and today, for the first time, I want to contribute a little to the show myself. With me here is my friend Caro.
What?
Who was the voice of Tingle in my first audio drama, Those Who Sing.
But...
Well, actually, she's not really here. I'm just making it sound like she's here.
Okay.
Which brings me right to the topic I want to talk about. How to spice up a plain dialogue with the characters not currently speaking, making noise in the background. This topic is something more relevant to those who do remote productions and can help to make a remote project sound more natural or as if it was recorded locally. I noticed many remote productions often have the dialogue clips lined up together, one after the other, with a little more in the background than the soundscape to accompany the dialogues. In local productions, you find these background noises of other characters more often. These noises could be anything. Just some little noises like sighs, intakes of breath, stuttering as they try to have a word in the conversation, or hums when they ponder if what the speaker said is really true, or exclamations when I tell Caro, by the way, there's a huge tomato sauce stain on your white blouse, you know?
What?
And now she'll look down on her blouse and discover the stain and gasp. You should just go to the bathroom and change clothes, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, see, she's agreeing with me. These noises are different from the noted inline sounds, like, for example, do I really have to do this? That sigh. Those are part of the actual line, while the ones I'm talking about are not. They're more part of the soundscape than the actual dialogue. I don't usually give any notes to the actors on these sounds, though maybe I should? I don't know. Most of my actors probably gave me those sounds unconsciously, or made them while building up for their lines they were going to speak, such as groans, deep breaths, or sighs. I collect these in a separate multitrack file so I won't lose them while I cut the actors' takes into small pieces. When I put together the actual dialogue, I can always come back to the multitrack and take the noises I think that would be fitting the reaction of the character that is currently in the background. And I usually try not to overlap those noises beneath the lines of the speaking character or any important words. Instead, I try to look for gaps or pauses in the sentences that the actors add for dramatic effect. I like to call those gaps lacuna. There's almost always a lacuna if the character has to say more than one sentence. See, even right there was one. Well, of course, this isn't something you can do for every character. The personality of the character plays a huge role in the sort of sound they make, or if they even do such noise at all. For example, people that are extroverted, uncertain, or very talkative are more likely to have these kind of sounds, while characters that are introverts or have a lot of self-esteem wouldn't usually do those noises. Also, an arrogant character is more likely to do sneering noises or exasperated sighs rather than sounds of confusion. Just be mindful of your character's personality when you do this. This sort of detail, of course, adds a lot of work to post-production. But just give it a few tries. You might find that you like it.
Okay.
And it makes the dialogue sound more natural, as if the actors are actually reacting to each other and not just to a piece of paper. And last but not least, I have to admit I'm talking about this from the producer's point of view. I just want to spice up my production, but I really don't know whether or not the actors are okay with this sort of thing.
What? Why?
Basically, I'm making them say things they did not consciously do for the act, sort of putting them into a different light than the original interpretation they gave me. This is something I've neglected to speak about with my voice actors before, and you might want to ask them if they're okay with it, if you plan on doing this. I can definitely see actors disagree with using their voice in a way that does not represent what they really did. If you're a voice actor and have any feelings regarding this, feel free to discuss them in the Facebook group or anywhere else where this podcast shows up. Anyway, that's it from my side, guys.
No, wait!
And before I let you take over again, I'll just say, auf Wiederhören.
Okay.
This was Cassie from Germany for you.
Thanks very much to Cassie, a great wee clip there, and like we said, we'd be given some thoughts on silent characters, and it actually did remind me a bit of A Prophet's Guide by Oral Stage Studios. You can hear Matthew Boudreau interviewed in episode 6, I think it was, of this very podcast, where he talked about the show The Prophet's Guide, where the protagonist, the main character, was completely silent. He had no lines whatsoever. And I think, and I'm kind of paraphrasing him here, the reason behind that was to make the listener feel as if they were the main character. And again, paraphrasing him a wee bit, could be totally wrong on this, but I think after having a run through, they felt there was just something lacking, you know, with the complete silence. So the main character did end up having some ums and ahs just to sort of keep him in the picture, if you like.
To put you in his head.
Yeah, so he had a presence. That was certainly something that jumped to mind when talking about this. What else have we got there, Robert?
The problem of silent characters. Now, that can be minimised in the writing process. Do you need to have three or more characters in the scene? Can those extra characters not go somewhere else, do something in the meantime? Maybe they're working in the garden and you can hear them like making a racket or whatever, not too close, rather than just simply sitting silently in the corner, and they're basically useless, you know, they're irrelevant.
Yeah, it's like, again, you're saying it comes down to the writing stage. When you're writing the script and if you've got more than two characters, say you've got four characters and two of them are having a bit of dialogue, do those other two really need to be there? You know, even if it's just a really mundane scene, is there not somewhere they can both go? And then you've got a separate conversation to be had. So try and split your characters up. Don't end up, and we've mistakenly ended up with this in Aftermath, where we ended up with like masses of characters in one place and it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
It was a bit like Pass the Parcel when it came to writing the script, because you were going round the room making sure everyone was chipping in. Mm-hmm. And on hindsight, I think we should have found another way around that, but you learn as you go, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something I've noticed as well in the dramas on BBC Radio 4 as well. Now, these are written with a limited time frame. They've got to be written and getting it out there as soon as possible. And they've also got a limited amount of time to get a whole story across. Quite often, they've only got one voice for the majority of the time, and it's all the person narrating in their head, and then occasionally it'll be two people, you know, the main character talking to one other person. But three or four or more, no, never happens.
Yeah, so one wee example we thought of, and I think we mentioned this a couple of episodes ago, was that we seen in the last ever episode of Aftermath, where mm-hmm. we had four characters in a room. Two of them came to the foreground, so we're basically having a conversation in the listener's ear, whilst another two of them went to the back of the room and were doing a separate task. And that conversation was still audible, but then towards the end of both conversations, both joined up and started chatting away again. So something like that's an option as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and I thought that worked really well. In the writing process, we made sure that the two in the background had the same amount of words, roughly, as the two in the foreground. So that it was easy, you know, the two separate conversations both ended at the same time and they both came together. So just something to bear in mind if that's what you're going to try and do. I would recommend it, definitely, once in a while.
So that wraps that up. Again, as always, we'd love to hear your thoughts on anything that was discussed this week. Get in touch, podcast@audiodramaproduction.com. And just on the day of recording here, I'd posted a message on the Facebook group raising the prospect of a potential audio drama get-together in the UK at some point, you know, maybe next year. And there's been a couple of responses already. A few people seem quite keen for it. So what's your thoughts, Robert? Has something like that got potential, do you think?
Absolutely. Now, I don't know whether or not it should be a full-blown convention with flyers and tickets and hotel deals and such, but certainly something that we could organise and get together and maybe not just for a drinking session as such, but we could maybe, I don't know, organise something where we actually have talks about stuff, I guess.
I think you probably do, like you say, you have to start a bit small. I think it would have to be a one-day thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're probably not looking at having loads of sessions and things like that, but I'd be interested to see how many people are interested. Certainly, it would take a wee bit of organising, so we'd need a few people to get involved, I think. We couldn't do it all ourselves, but we're certainly prepared to do some of it.
Yeah.
So, again, if you're interested in potentially getting involved, you know, you just want to get in touch and say so, put your hat in the ring. No obligation, I promise. just get in touch at podcast@audiodramaproduction.com.
If it's something that people were really interested in to the level where they would want, you know how like we have guests that we get on now and again, like Dirk Maggs and Richard Hand, who wrote books about radio drama. Would we be looking for guests like that? We could maybe book them, and in which case that's something much bigger that we'd work towards. I would love to do something like that on a big scale eventually.
Yeah.
And if we get the demand for it, if we get the interest, then that's something we could aim towards, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's something you have to work towards. I mean, we attended the UK Podcasters Conference last year, which was a great event and a big event, but it's New Media Europe this year, and it's much bigger, and it's a two-day thing. So you could see these things sort of growing, but you can't go in at that level. I think you've got to maybe get together for a day, have maybe one speaker, two at a push. But yeah, we'll see. I'd love to hear people's opinions, and if anyone wants to get involved, please get in touch with us.
I'm keen, and I'm keen to see what other people think for sure, because it could really be something exciting that we could help to push audio drama as a, you know, a media in general. A medium, sorry.
Voice map, Robert. We released our second voice map route, didn't we? That's, for those of you who haven't heard of voice map before, it's basically it's a website and an app which creates, how would you describe it, an audio tour around certain places.
Yeah, analogies are always good in times like this. You know how, like, if you maybe have a pair of headphones on and a cassette player back in the 80s and you're walking around a museum and the voice talks about what you're looking at. If you can imagine that and you're somewhere in a city, then the app will play you certain files. And every time you go to the next checkpoint, which will be recognised by GPS, you've arrived at such and such because we can tell from your GPS, it'll play you the next part of the file. And what we've done is we've created two files where it was actually a drama, a story, based in Edinburgh. And it starts at this checkpoint, and as you're walking along, the voice talks to you and tells you the next part of the story. And, and we've finished our second one. The first one was called...
The Thousand Year Theft.
The Thousand Year Theft. And this one's called Taking in the Sights. So I don't really want to go into it too much at this point, but if you want to have a look, just check out, is it in the Facebook group, or did we just...
But will we play the first track? We'll play the first track, I think.
Absolutely, and see if you can recognise the voice.
Can you hear me? Aye. I can tell from your face that you can. It's been over 150 years since I last walked in the world of light and life. Still, it's sometimes pleasant to talk to those who still do. Taking in the sights, are you? Well, these buildings might interest you, but I'll wager 10 shillings that you'd be more interested in the goings-on here. Aye, that you would. Just start walking down the high street, the Royal Mile to you, and I'll chum you along. I bet you'd love to hear about my contribution to the medical college. That's right, the famed academics, leaders of the world in their day because of their experiments, the things they learned from cutting up cadavers, the bodies of those departed to you and me. And where did they get them? The plague had been long gone from Edinburgh, over 100 years. People were living longer and the college didn't want old hags riddled with disease. And while they'd still pay for such a corpse, they were prepared to pay a sight more for younger, fresher specimens. But before you see Burke and Hare, let me tell you something. That's a whole spot of nonsense. Those Irish wallopers only managed 3 of their own before they got caught, and the first was an accident. If you want to know the truth, then keep those things in your ears, and I'll guide you through it. I'll direct you to the spots where the whole grisly thing unfolded as we go along. I might disappear every now and again, but I've got my eye on you. and I'll catch up and I'll tell you a bit more. You can go ahead and put your telephone, or whatever that thing is, away in your pocket. Just be sure to keep listening. And old Sam will keep you right. Right, let's get to Deacon Brodie's pub on the left, and I'll tell you all about it.
So there you go. It's basically, you know, it's an audio walking tour. Most people create factual ones to guide you around touristy places, but we've sort of taken a different route and created some fictional stories. And funnily enough, now there's a few audio drama producers talking about working with VoiceMap as well. I know Campfire are, I know Oral Stage are, so that's quite exciting. It's nice to see. I hope we see more content like this, because certainly VoiceMap's a great venture and they're really, really good people to work with as well. So
yeah. And one tip for anyone that is thinking about it, something that was useful for us, is that since it is in a historical part of Edinburgh, particularly the second one that we've just finished, we did reference buildings that actually exist. While the drama itself is a piece of fiction, obviously, we did refer to the places in there, like St. Giles Cathedral. Oh, aye, it was built in such and such, and this happened and that happened. So it's still got the factual aspect of it, although it's not the primary point, is it? It's more about the drama itself. So something to consider. You can still have the factual bits in there. You don't have to rip them out just to replace them with your drama.
So all links to that in the show notes as usual. Elsewhere, I wanted to say thanks to Mr. Umberto Lenzi, who he's pledged some money to us on Patreon. Patreon, if you don't know, is a website that enables you to contribute a fee per episode of content, whether you're a podcaster or a blogger. So we have a Patreon account, and our aim is to sort of cover our hosting and website costs. And Umberto, he's the third patron that we've got, and just wanted to again thank him. Really, really appreciate it. And please get in touch and let us know, you know, what you're up to. Do you create audio drama? What's your sort of role in audio production, or are you a listener? It'd be great to chat with you.
Yeah, and thanks to you, Umberto, we get to eat meat this week.
That's right, just, you know, and purified water.
Yeah, so you've extended our lifespan. So thank you very much. It's really appreciated. It obviously, it goes towards our running costs and keeps this show possible. If not probable.
Yeah. I mean, certainly on a day like today, it's all worth it, because it's been hard work doing this episode. We're not done yet, but it's been a challenging week.
It certainly is.
So we're going to end on a light note. We've not had a spam email of the week for some time, have we?
Spam email of the week. There you go.
Do you want to read it then?
This is
a good one that's been passed on to us, and it was too good not to read out. So, like I say, we've not done one for a wee while, so here goes.
Right. Good afternoon, my dear friend. That's one word, dear friend. Good start. I am the beginner in the internet, also was the first attempt to find friends in the internet.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. I feel slightly uncertainly. So
you,
do I.
You and me both.
I was registered on this site and found your structure. It is interesting to me to learn you closer. Kind of like Jar Jar Binks from Star Wars.
Found my structure.
Yeah. I have overlooked to speak you about myself. My name Elena, and I am 26 years. I live in small city of Russia.
That notoriously small city, Russia.
City-state. Russia, largest country in the world. Yes, I live in small city of Russia. I hope that it doesn't... excuse me. I hope that it does not frighten you.
What, our misperception?
Yeah. My opinion has no value for you. Correct. But I want that you knew that I have only the good relation to you and your country. So, all right, I'm from Russia, but hey!
Very diplomatic.
I'm not going to bomb you, by the way, or nuke you. Don't you worry about it. Okay, thank you. I want that you wrote to me on my personal address. heavy, that's H-E-V-Y, blah, 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 at something, something, dot, R-U. So at least that part's real, the Russian part.
Yeah.
I shall hope that you write to me very soon. I shall send necessarily to you my some photos when you will write to me. And I also want to see your photos. I sincerely wait for your letter. Do not overlook heavy at yada 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 dot R-U.
It's a good effort.
I'm not sure what they want.
No, I'm not sure. I think that's one of the spam tactics, is just to hook you with a completely non-committal introductory email. And yeah. Then once a dialogue's been opened, the whole obtaining of the bank details can then come into play. But
is Elena not aware that if people want photos of women on the internet, that maybe she's not the first port of call? There are entire websites dedicated to such things.
It's not the early 90s where you had to go up the woods with the Argos catalogue and look at the bra page, is it? I mean, not me, obviously, but no. A friend of mine.
Yeah. That lacked everything, that one. If you think you can do better with spam emails, send them to podcast@audiodramaproduction.com.
Yeah, and on that note, I think we're done for this week. That's it in the bag at long last. It's been a long time coming for us. Thanks for persevering, even though you were completely unaware of our plight.
Yeah. Just know that we've gone through hell to bring this to you, and it's a labour of love, or like. It's a labour of like.
So enjoy your week. Not sure what will be on the show next week, but we will be, and you'll be there too, so... we'll all reconvene in 7 days.
Yeah, as usual, if there's anything you want to hear about on the show, anything you want to discuss, get on the Facebook group, email us, Twitter, you know, you'll find us. Google us, let us know, and we'll make it happen for you.
Goodbye.
Cheerio! Did we definitely do number 5? I feel like we missed it out.
I think we did. I think we missed number 5 out.